This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we have a guest who's going to talk to us about the three secrets to living a life with joy. And I know you're absolutely waiting for that one because these last few, 24 months almost, I know you're ready to get some secrets to living a life with joy. But right now, I'm going to introduce my host, Okay, so my co-host is here. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Coleman here. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Mr. Coleman, for that information.
No problem. How are you doing? It's TGIF.
Oh, I'm fine. It's okay. It's okay. You have to be all right. You have to be all right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, you get right.
Go ahead. Oh,
I just wanted to say.
You were going to say what?
You about to get some secrets to joy. So go ahead. TGIF. Let's do it.
Yep. I was going to give the secrets away. The three secrets to living joyfully. The first one is gratitude, the attitude that opens the portal for joy. And then number two is grounding. Grounding habits move our body and soul into joy. Number three is alignment to our truth and purpose moves joy through us and into others' lives for maximum impact. These are the three secrets to living a life filled with joy. No matter what circumstances may come your way, do you at times feel like life is just one big, smelly, frustrating inconvenience? Or you're feeling pulled into too many directions? These tips will move you back into alignment and ground you into simple, actionable steps that anyone can do to call in more joy, ease, and flow. So having said all of that, I'm introducing our guest is Miss Mary tonight. Hello, Miss Mary. How are you?
Hello. I'm so great. If I was any better, I would be twins. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Okay, well, I see right now we're going to have a whooping great night. So can you go ahead.
I was going to say I would not be as interesting or fun if I came on here and was like, hi, I'm here to talk to you about joy. Who's ready for joy?
Oh, yeah, that would look real bad. Talking about joy. But she's talking like she doesn't know it herself. So,
right.
Okay.
Right.
So, if you want to start, you got the floor.
I love it. Well, thank you. So, tonight, for sure, we are talking about the secret formulas to having more joy. And I'm also going to share, actually, probably more than three, just because we do have the time. And I want to come and give you all the goods. I want you to leave today knowing you are empowered and you are deserving, and it is your birthright to be able to step out into life with joy, when you want to call it in, which should be all the time, y'all. We deserve more joy into our lives. And sometimes it can feel frustrating by not being able to call it in, right? We get busy. Life
That's
happens.
True.
Think of all the things. And I'll tell you, years ago, you know, I used to walk around with this story of like, oh, I don't really have a story. Like, I wasn't a gang member that converted. I wasn't, you know, someone that was like super low luck on life and then, you know, figured it out. Like, I didn't have one of those types of transformational stories. And I used to be like, oh, well, is it okay that I can walk around with joy when I didn't have to come out of anything? And what I'll tell you is, I had to learn a very valuable lesson about that, because in knowing what joy was and having that as my baseline, what did happen to me when I hit 40 years old is I got breast cancer, my dog of 14 years died, and then I also got sued two times over, lost a six-figure business and an eight-figure business all at the same time. So if there was ever a time in my life where I was not feeling joyful, I would say that that was it. And that was a time where I had to wake up and say, who am I really? And is joy really my baseline? And on days where I am not actually feeling in my stomach reasons to be joyful, how do I bring myself back to a place of joy, knowing that that's really where I want my soul to live? And knowing that this is how life is sometimes. Life happens to us. And I'm not woe is me with all that happened to me, because there's lots of things that happen, right? People lose their homes to fires. People get sued every day. People lose people in their life that they love, whether it's their animals or people who are really close to them or even their children. And there's so much different kinds of pain, suffering, life lessons that are out in the world happening. Whatever your thing is, just know that even if it wasn't something, you know, audacious like cancer, I know that whatever you're going through is a big deal to you, right? When we were all 14-year-olds running around with pimples on our face, that was our big deal. Like, it was dire that we were going to show up to school with a pimple on our face, and, like, it felt like we were going to die. All of our circumstances are a little bit different, but this is a time where I want you to know that throughout whatever it is you're going through, that there is a way to call in more joy. And that first one, as Jenny said, is having an immense of gratitude, because attitude of gratitude does help us switch from a state of judgment into compassion. It's also realizing that everything you want is available to you. And with gratitude, it means we count every single blessing, the blades of grass on a fresh cut lawn, the grandness of beautiful cosmos, the love in your heart for people and pets you love. Jenny, share with me, my friend, what is one of the biggest pieces of gratitude that you go to in your life when you know that, like, oh, chips are down? Like, but what's the one, is there one thing that you think of that just instantly brings you into gratitude?
The gratitude I feel is that God is always in control. So whether I'm up or down, I have to understand that He is, you know, leading me. So I am not supposed to be sad.
So good. So good. Yes. Yes. And here's the thing. So I love what you just said, but I do want to say this, that all of the feelings that we feel, right, because we are human and we're given a grand vastness of emotions. And sometimes they are sadness, sometimes, but I also feel like leaning into the sadness sometimes is what also helps us lean into joy. Because knowing sadness is also knowing joy, because when you shift out of sadness, you go, oh, this is what it feels like to shift into joy. And so know that all of your feelings are valid for all of you, anything that you're going through, anything in life. But the way that you bring yourself back to that grounding place is by leaning into gratitude. Let people you love pop into your mind. Send love to yourself. Be grateful. I remember, especially now that I have healed from cancer, one of the biggest gratitudes I have on a very daily basis is, wow, God, thank you for this body. Thank you that it was resilient through going through such a crazy time and something that could have grown in my body and killed me. and ended my life sooner than expected. Like, thank you that my body, that you gave me this vessel and helped me to take even better care of it so that I can continue on my journey knowing that it's not yet my time. And so that's one of those really beautiful places to sit. So I want to encourage all of you to find those spaces of gratitude. And on days when it's really hard, just get real present with yourself. Literally look out the window and look and see what you can be grateful for. And just know that some days it might just be that there's blades of grass or that the sun came out today and that somewhere when you look at that plate of food in front of you, like, thank you, God, for the, you know, farmer that grew this seed, this food that became a seed, that became a plant that's sitting on my plate right now. So there's always ways to reach in, and some days that's how we reach into and open up that portal for joy. The second one is...
Well, before you get to the second one, Mary, to the second one, I have a question. How did you get to be, because I can hear it in your voice, you sound very joyful. You really do. How did you come out of it? Oh, I have cancer. Because the major population people said if the doctor says you have cancer, then the first thing they do is start crying and feeling sorry for themselves. How did you come out of that?
Great question. So this is what I'll say. My initial reaction was, are you sure? Are you sure that I have cancer? I actually was not fully enrolled in the doctor telling me that I had cancer. So you guys can call it whatever you want. You can call it a little bit of a denial. You can call it hesitation. For me, personally, I'm a processor, meaning that if someone speaks an offense, or if someone, speaks their truth, it takes me a moment to process it and decide for myself what's believable for me. So when the doctor said, hey, Mary, you've got breast cancer, then I said, okay, can I trust him? Sure, he does this all day. He probably knows what he's talking about. Hard for me to put together because I take pretty good care of myself, but you know what? Cancer doesn't discriminate. And so then I said, what is showing up for me? If this is going to be, it's showing up for me for a reason, and I'm going to let this play out. And part of that was getting into what Jenny said, which is, hey, I know at the end of the day that control is an illusion. That at the end of the day, what I can do is I can trust my creator, and I can trust that anything put in front of me is for a reason, and that my job is to figure out, what is the possibility? What's the reason that could be? And if there is a reason that's going to come to my awareness, how can I use it in a way that's going to benefit other people around me? And so that's how I went into it. And very like, okay, let's go into problem solving mode. And I got as much information as I could. And I'll tell you, there's lots of information on breast cancer because, unfortunately, there's lots of different kinds of breast cancer. And in particular, I took a step back and I said, what do I feel in my body and my spirit when it comes to breast cancer showing up in my life? And for me, that story goes deeper into some things around holistic dentistry and the meridian lines of the body. I don't know if we have enough time to go into it tonight, but it's one of those things where I said, this is showing up for me for a reason, and I'm going to lean in and figure out what that is. And I went through the process, and I went through my struggles, and I went through the wondering, and I wondered if it was my time. I wondered if, wow, I've lived such a full 40 years. Is this really going to be my story? Is cancer going to be that thing that is, kind of the last chapter for me? But it wasn't. And it was understanding that God had a bigger purpose for me. And in knowing that that was true, I said, great, what is that now? And as I went through my healing journey, I actually chose to not do chemotherapy and radiation because in my spirit, I didn't feel like that was the calling for me. I felt that God still wanted me to have a great quality of life. And if I made the choice, then my choice would be honored. And I really feel that way because a lot of times when someone gets cancers, unfortunately, one out of three come back. and they come back typically in that first 3 years. Yeah, and I'm already past that, you know. So, and as every time I get a scan or every time I get my blood work done and every time, you know, that it shows up, I'm reminded of how blessed I am because I get to say, hey, one more year, one more time that, like, I'm free and clear. Thank you, Jesus. And how am I spending my time? How did I use that?
Did he tell you had, like, a stage one or two or something like that?
Stage two. Uh-huh, yep. Okay. Stage two invasive ductal carcinoma. And I'll tell you, I was bending over to do a yoga pose, and I saw a string on my shirt, and I went to pull it off. And as I touched my string, which was on my right breast, I felt this bump that felt like a grape under my skin. And I knew something was, like, not right. Because in my mind, I was like, that's very round and very distinct. I should probably go get that checked out. And that's actually how I found it. 2.3 centimeters. But when they took it out, it was shrinking. I had nothing in my lymph nodes. So I knew that I was being delivered from breast cancer. But more than that, what happened, Jenny, is the bigger miracle. And it was how God brought me to it. Because I'll tell you that there was a moment in time where I didn't think that I was going to talk about breast cancer. I was going to quietly go home, work with my doctors, hope that, you know, cancer would go away and then resume life again so that the world wouldn't ever know that I'd gotten cancer. But I'll tell you, it's a lonely and hard road to go through something difficult and not share it with anyone.
Right.
And I say that because from my experience, it was cancer. But how many of us can say that there's a lot of hard things we go through in life that we don't share? Think about the people who might have experienced sexual abuse as kids or some sort of abuse in their family when they're younger. Or even now, they could be emotionally abused in their relationships, but they don't share it. Because there's shame or because there's guilt or because they're carrying that. And when you carry those things by yourself, they are heavy. My friends, let me tell you that the burden lightens when we share with each other. And it's part of the reason I really believe that there is so much healing in sharing. And that's why I share with you my story and why I would tell you over and over again that in that moment of my doubt where I was like, oh, do I hide this away? That in the moment that I said it, in literally 60 seconds later, I said, you know what? No. Anything that makes me want to run the other way is exactly what I should be running towards, and I'm going to talk about it. And as I talked about it, people that I didn't even know had breast cancer that I had known for years start sharing with me about how they had it 20 years ago or they had it 10 years ago or someone's aunt or uncle or whatever. And we start sharing stories, and I get a little bit of hope because I'm like, oh, people do live through this. But bigger than that, I ended up connecting with a community of young women with breast cancer. And so when I say young women, I mean women under 40, women, honestly, even in their 20s, old enough to be my daughters, who were dealing with breast cancer or dealing with the BRCA gene. There's an actual gene. And you know how you'll hear these fitness experts that are like, oh, if your genes are the fat genes, you can control those with diet and exercise. Okay, yes, there are some genes we can absolutely control with our environment and what we do. But with the BRCA gene, unfortunately, that gene says they have like an 86% likelihood in their lifetime to get breast or ovarian cancer or both. So if you can imagine being that young and living with the thought that this could happen and then likely that you've lost other women in your family before you because this gene gets passed on, it has a 50% likelihood of passing it on to your next child.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot. And so you have young women making decisions about, do I freeze my eggs because maybe I don't have a partner right now, but I know this is going to happen in the future. Now I have to think about getting a mastectomy before I even have a cancer diagnosis. Right, they're trying to get ahead of the game, and so this is another weight. And I thought, wow, you know, at 40, I can say I've lived a good portion of my life. I've already made decisions about children, breastfeeding, all of those things. I had already made those decisions. So now I have, you know, if anything, aging breasts. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess they're going to get in there and make them a little even and tighten them up a little bit, whatever it is that they do. And I'll tell you that it's funny because the most offensive thing you can actually say to someone with breast cancer is, oh, you're getting a boob job. That is not true, guys. It is a reconstruction is definitely not that. However, what I'll say to you is for me, that was the piece that I got from it is I said, look, I have aging breasts. So for me, this is going to be the closest thing I'm probably ever getting to, quote, a boob job. So this will just have to do the trick for me. And that gave me a level of peace. And that's why I say, you know, whatever is going to bring you peace in those rough experiences, take it. You know, take it, because that piece is priceless. But coming
so
into
did
this
you,
community.
Did you have them to take them away from you?
I did. I had a double mastectomy, it's like a 6-hour surgery. They take both breasts and then they reconstruct them. And so, and I've always been kind of big busted, Jenny. So it's funny because if you'd ever asked me what plastic surgery would I pick this, that would not have been the one. That would not have been the one. Because I was like, I've had boobs all my life. This is not necessary. But here we are, right? So that was just kind of like okay. So this is God's got a sense of humor. But beyond that, I met this community of young women. And today, because of that meeting, because of my experience, because I am someone who is now a breast cancer survivor, can definitely speak to it and through it, I get to be on the other side of it, blessing and encouraging women who are going through it now, or who have gone through it in their families, or are affected by breast and reproductive cancers in some way, shape, or form. So I sit as the chair of the board for a group called The Breasties. And The Breasties is a nonprofit. We get to raise money for a great cause. We get to help fund research. And I would have never, this would have not even been a thought in my mind to use my own business gifts and talents to come in and bless a group that so needed what I have, what I've been gifted with, but also that something like breast cancer would bring us together. And I feel so honored and grateful, because if I had hid the whole story about breast cancer, the fact that I'd even gotten it, then no one would know that I had breast cancer, and I would have never met this community because we wouldn't have had that connection. Right. And I'm always reminded that, like, wow, that could have been one decision that could have changed the whole trajectory of things. And I'm so glad that I made a decision to talk about it and to be okay talking about it, and in the hopes that it will bless and transform someone else that's going through a hard thing.
That is a really, really good story. I mean, that is knowledgeable, and someone somewhere will hear that, I believe, and they will thank you, but you will never know. But they will mm-hmm. thank you, and they will, you know, listen to what you've done. So that was amazing. And it sounds like you had a kind of giddy attitude way before this joyfully attitude. I mean, it might have gotten more joyful, but it sounds as if you were already part there.
And that's wonderful. Yes, for sure. Like I said, you know, the gratitude part has always been part of it. And that's why when I was going, I literally remember laying on the grass in my backyard, going through the lawsuit, the breast cancer, the dog dying. And I remember a storm was rolling in, and so I could see, like, the gray clouds, and it was starting to sprinkle. And as I laid there, I was like, you know what, God? If there was ever a time that I feel like I want to crawl in a hole or that you could take me, it's now, because it all feels so heavy on me in this moment. But in that crazy moment, I also had so much compassion, because I fully recognize that there are people who on a daily basis are pulling themselves up out of a miserable situation or a hard situation. And I have a lot of gratitude for the fact that, like, wow, I have actually not had so many so difficult things of this nature until this time in my life. But also looking at it and saying, I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to see the lesson, and I'm going to see the wisdom of this thing that's happening to me, and figure out, how do I share this story? How do I lean into all these, this way that it feels, so I can encourage someone else and say, I know what it feels like to be there in the depths, feeling like, God, take me now, but to pull myself out of that and go, no, there is a bigger reason. There is a better life for me. This does not define me. I can make a choice to still lean into joy and through gratitude and lean into joy through having good habits to ground myself into these things that I know bring joy into my life, that can bring joy into anyone's life if you make the choice to do it.
That's true. So are we on number two, grounding?
We are. We're on number two, which is grounding, and I will tell you all that this is the practical grounding piece that calls in joy to your life, and it's one that I had to use many days in a row because there were days when I just didn't want to get up because I didn't know what the future was going to hold. There was still some uncertainty, and unfortunately, that is what happens. Life can be a little uncertainty. It's not perfectly predictable, despite what our astrological charts might say for the day.
Yeah.
So this is where I would say having these habits that instill joy in your life are really important, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. So I have what's called a epic wake-up and wind-down routine, which means the beginning of my day and the end of my day are mine. So when I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Alexa, and she starts playing my favorite song list, and I start to move around in the bed, and then when I get up out of the bed, I start moving my body, my cells start to dance, I set an intention for the day, I speak gratitude, I go into the bathroom and brush my teeth, and while I'm brushing my teeth, I do what's called habit pairing. I do not love exercise. I know all of you listening love running 5 miles a day. You love going to the gym for an hour or two. I get it. That's the rest of the world. That is not me. I love cake, and that's not changing anytime soon. But for me, in order to get some movement in my life, I pair it with something I know I am unequivocally not going to forget to do, and that's brushing my teeth. So after I brush my teeth, I pump out 25 push-ups, I do 25 dips, and I do about 50 squats, or I squat to a whole song. Depends on the day, how I'm feeling. And if that's the only exercise I got that day, at least I know I got some exercise. And so that is called habit pairing. So find the habit that you do unequivocally and pair it with something that maybe you don't love as much, but you can do quickly that you know is going to give you a benefit, right? So maybe that's stretching for 10 minutes. So you know, my morning routine can last a whole hour. Sometimes it only lasts 15 minutes because I understand that not every day we don't have an hour at the beginning of our day or an hour at the end of our day to always do these things. But we probably have 10 to 15 minutes. And so if we can give ourselves that time to set that intention, create some gratitude, and create a little movement, and maybe it's something different for everyone. It could be journaling. It could be meditation. It could be prayer. It could be a devotional. All of you are going to figure out what's your thing that really is going to give you your time in the morning. And for me, it's movement and music because that's what wakes my body up and gets me all happy and lets me utilize that first fresh energy of the day. I go into my day, and it does not matter what the day holds because by the time it's time to wind down, this is where I look at the day. I say, thank you, day, for what you brought me. I'm going to reflect on the lessons. I'm going to think about whatever it is I need to think about. I'm going to look at my schedule for tomorrow, and then I'm going to shut the door on the day because this day is done. And when I shut the day on the door, I do it very intentionally, and then I go into my wind down, which is, for me, journaling, reading a book, having hot tea. I take a shower. I do some more push-ups and dips. I leave out the squats at night, and then I might even do a little stretching and stuff. And then I sit down and I lay down and I go through gratitudes. Gratitudes is what I fall asleep to, y'all. Falling asleep to gratitudes is one of the best things you can do because you want the last thing on your mind not to be the worries of the day and not to be the craziness of things or the mess that we call life, but let it be something you're so grateful for. God, thank you for getting me through this day, even if that's all it is. And there's something beautiful about that. Because like I said, control is an illusion, but we do have some, we do at least have a choice to make, and we can choose how to actually start and end our day. And that's a beautiful way to do it, and it's a great habit. When you create a habit out of it, it creates that habit of being able to wake up and wind down with joy, and that's really grounding. It's a really, really grounding activity to do.
Okay, I like that. But right now, we're going to take a break. I'm going to give you a little time, and we're going to go to a commercial. Right now, we are here with Luke, the Jenny White
Lions
Show.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
Okay.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with Identity Theft Protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, Social Security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show. Okay, so we're back with the Jenny White Show, and we've been talking to a person who is very joyful, and she had the breast cancer, and she came through that. You sound amazing to me because I don't think that I would have done what you did. So kudos to you.
I said thank you.
Yes, and you know, if anything comes around me that might be anything like that, I know who I can call.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For
get
sure.
Me
but
up
that's
off
part of
the
it,
floor.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we need.
Get
we got to lift each other
off
up.
The
that's,
floor. That's right.
Yes. Yes. And that's
right.
Okay. Sometimes that's what it is, right? We need someone to, we do, sometimes we do need someone else to pick us up off the floor. And I tell people, people like to say to me, oh, you're so strong. Or you're, and I'm like, oh, sometimes I have to borrow someone else's strength. And that I definitely had my moments of that. And that's okay. That's what we create friendships for.
That's
and that's
true.
What we create masterminds for. It's to create that connection with people through community that says, hey, when I need to be peeled up off the floor, who's going to be there to help? You know, and find your people, find your tribe. That's so important. Even at the breast cancer, in the breasties, in our community, what we tell our community is if you're having a hard day and you need some love, you need some support, you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to write a big post about how sad things are. Throw up the mountain icon. And so when we see one of our local community members throw up that mountain, we start calling, we start dropping messages in their DMs, we just start loving on them because that is our kind of community thing we do to say, hey, I support you, I love you, I see you, and I know it's, you're having a tough day. And if you want to talk, here's my number, but if you don't, just know you're loved, and we just send them so much love. And I love that. I think that's how we should be doing it.
You know
all
what?
Around the world.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. Yes. So in our community, when someone's having a hard day.
Okay.
Yes. So Jenny, let's pretend I'm having a tough day, and maybe I can't even talk about it, right? Maybe I had, you know, maybe the cat died, whatever's going on, or it's just a tough day. Maybe I had a you know, bad scan, whatever. I throw up the mountain icon because at the breasties, our logo is two mountains because we say ain't no mountain high enough, but we can also climb mountains together. But that mountain icon means a lot for us. And so we say, if you're having a hard day and you need some love, you need some, for everyone to send you some energetic love, some prayers, some hugs, some virtual hugs, throw up your mountains. So they throw up that mountain on, they post it on their Instagram or they post it on their Facebook page. Then all of us know, uh-oh, someone in the community is having a tough day. And we all go leave them messages or we phone call them, we text them. We just start sending them love, or we just say a silent prayer for them too, and that's how community comes together when someone's having a tough day.
Oh, I like that. That's really interesting.
Good, right?
So, how many people are in your group?
Oh, we have hundreds of people. We are worldwide organization. Yeah, worldwide organization. But this is we have ambassadors in different pockets around the globe here. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So,
I like that.
I know. It's good, right?
Yes. Can
I
they
feel
just
like
text
amongst,
you? Can
yes,
they text
for sure.
You?
If they've got my number, they can just text me, absolutely. But this is how, as a whole community, we know, right? So, for example,
so they just
Jenny,
send
if you're having
you,
a bad day,
they send you two mountains.
It's
right?
Actually, it's there's an icon on Facebook, and it's and honestly, it's any mountain. We know that anytime someone sends a little picture of a mountain and a little icon of a mountain, we know what that means. We know what it means. It means I need some love.
Okay. Boy, if a lot of people knew that, I mean, had some kind of little something that they could connect with someone else, maybe we wouldn't have so many suicides.
Yes, that's right. And that's why even amongst your own communities, like even amongst my friends, I want to say, hey, why don't you, like, I need to go pick an icon. I'm going to go, actually, that's what I'm going to do after this call. I'm going to go dig through the icons. I'm going to send it to my friends and say, hey, guys, I want you to know that if you're having a bad day, if you need some love, if you need a prayer, if you need someone to talk to, even if you don't want to talk about what that thing is that's going on, give me this icon so that right away I know that I can just come and support you energetically and, if I can, physically, or if I can, pick up the phone right there and call you or at least drop you a message.
You know what? I'm learning. I'm really learning. So I'm getting ideas as well.
Yes.
Because I have friends, and instead of me trying to help them, it would seem to me that I would go in an opposite direction, which doesn't help. So that's good to know. That's really good to know. Okay. So we've done one and two. Are you done with two, though?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, this is what I'll say about two. When it comes to the you know, I'm all about those grounding and that habits, but I'm going to throw in a little bonus, we'll call it two and a half, because I feel like it goes with number two. And it also goes with number three, but it definitely goes with number two. And it's whenever we feel like we're judging, we take that judgment, recognize it as judgment, and we turn it into compassion. So this means that if I have a judging thought, and sometimes that judging thought is about other people, maybe it's a criticism, oh, their hair, their clothes, their weight, whatever, right? That's a judgment. But also there's times where we judge ourselves. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I was so dumb. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Those thoughts of judgment, that's our moment to recognize it as judgment, stop ourselves and say, how can I look at this same thing, this person, this scenario, this situation, and treat it with compassion, right? And so instead of saying I'm going to judge someone, let's just call it for their weight, maybe I say I'm going to knock that judgment away and turn it into compassion, because I don't know what that person's been through. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what their life has been like, and I don't know what things that I can't see are going on for them. And so how do I lean into this and say, oh, let me have compassion? And for ourselves, how do we say, you know what, I'm human and I'm going to make mistakes. So let's not call myself stupid, but let's just look at the situation and go, that wasn't the greatest decision, but what can I learn from it? And then this is how we turn that judgment into compassion. And I know it sounds like a simple concept. It does require a little more mental gymnastics to shift that energy, because now we're asking ourselves to empathize with that person or situation that we were trying to judge with fresh eyes. And oftentimes it's our own selves that we need to look at with those fresh eyes. And that extra dose of compassion goes a long, long, long way.
Yeah.
So that's my bonus number two and a half.
Okay. Okay.
And last one, Jenny.
Well, you said you had more than three now.
I did, and I just did two and a half. And so now I'm going to go into three, and then I'm going to give you one more after that so that we're going to be more than three. So number three is living in alignment with your truth. And when I say living in alignment with your truth, I'm going to share a little story with you. And that story goes like this. One of my very good friends, she comes from a Muslim family. If you know anything about the Muslim religion, they don't condone eating pork. Pork is a big deal. You also would never live with your significant other to be before you're actually married. There's lots of rules, lots of different things that goes into it. But for her, she's grown up here in America, and at a younger age, as teenagers go, we're all a little naughty during our teenage years, but she found herself kind of saying, you know what, I'm not so sure that this is the belief system that I want to buy into. And rather than being authentic about it, she was sneaky about it. And as time went on, she made compromises that would be compromises outside of the rules of that particular belief system, right? And so her parents were fully bought into this belief system. And rather than her just saying, well, I'm not buying into this belief system, but I'm going to secretly go do all the things I want to do, but come back and make you think that I do believe the same belief system, her life is very much out of alignment because she's actually living a lie. So the belief she ends up with is, well, my parents love me because they believe I don't eat pork. My parents love me because they believe that I'm not living with my boyfriend. And you could keep going down the list, right? And so this becomes a lie, and it gets uncomfortable because now this love that should be so pure from your parents is all based on a lie, and you are robbing everybody of the truth in this sense. And you're also not allowing people to just love you for you in knowing that you're enough. And when I say this, I think there's probably a little conviction that runs through the air and ripples a little bit, because how many times is there someone in our life that we love, but maybe they're doing something we don't love? Does it mean that we don't love the person? No. Especially for, I'd say parents and children typically have a very special bond. I don't believe that, if I went out and was doing really terrible things in the world, my mom wouldn't love me any less, but she probably would experience some shame, and she would experience anger for not loving that thing that I'm doing, but she wouldn't unlove me. And so this is where I say, if there are those people in your life who you can recognize and go, well, there's some things about what they're doing that I don't love, but I still love that person. And that's the real message here. So anyway, going back to my friend, she was having a terrible time because her boyfriend actually ended up proposing to her. So now they are getting married, but they're not getting married for another year. And at this point, the mom is covering for her in this lie, right? So the dad does not know that they're living together. The mom knows she's having to be enrolled into this lie now, and she's been holding it for the last 8 years, and that's a long time.
Wow.
Yes, and so now she's fighting with her my friend. She's fighting with her future husband because she's like, hey, my mom is asking if we can hurry up and just have a family wedding now, like in the next month, so that we're not lying anymore, right? Can we get married quickly so that we're not living a lie anymore, so she doesn't have to lie? And it's causing friction because they're not supposed to be getting married for a year. And so this whole thing is just getting really blown out. And I had to stop her. And I said, my darling, do you recognize that you're creating all of this tension and drama because you're trying to keep up with the lie? I said, how much more freeing would it be to just live in the truth? What if you just go to your parents and say, I need to apologize, I need to be honest with you, and I need to live in my truth. And my truth is that I'm not going to be abiding by the same beliefs that you abide by, and I'm hoping we can agree to disagree on some things, because I don't want to lie to you. I've been lying, and I do not want to be a liar anymore, because I know you're my parents. I know that you love me. But it's important to me that we love each other but can live in truth together. And so this really cut for her, because she wondered if this meant, would her dad not forgive her? Would this become a thing where she's banished from the family? Would this be something that causes a rift between her parents? And I said, well, you can keep living this lie, but I can see that it's tearing you apart. I can see it's causing dissension amongst you and your future partner. But more than that, what happens when you have children? Are you going to feed your children bacon and eggs in the morning and then tell them, hey, don't tell grandma and grandpa later that you're
having
bacon for breakfast? Right? Because now we have to enroll our children in this lie.
Oh,
and this is how
we
hurt future generations. And this doesn't stop. When does a lie stop? It stops when we decide to live in our truth. And I just wanted to encourage her. Sometimes when we've been in a lie, those lies come with consequences. And we have to have some acceptance of the choices that we've made. Yeah. And so she had her brother asked the mom, hey, what do you think, what if we propose to dad, like a what if scenario, like what if she was living with her boyfriend? And they did that, and the dad was so upset. He says, I don't want to hear that. That would be unacceptable. That would be no good. She should not be my daughter anymore, right? He's very upset. And so I said to her, well, you have an idea of how your dad is going to respond. I said, however, even with your dad telling that to your brother and your mother, what I'm going to tell you, because I'm hearing you also tell me how loving your parents have been towards you and how gracious they've been to you in your moments of indiscretion that they have known about growing up, I still think that there's room for forgiveness. But you still may have to pay the piper. You have to pay the consequences of this lie, and that might be one of them. It may be separation from your parents. I was like, but continuing to live a lie is going to mean you have to continue to enroll your future husband, your mother, your brother, and your future children
oh, wow.
to continue down this road. And that is, I'm telling you, my friends, that is not something you want to do. And she, it just, it cut to her heart. She said, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. She went home, wrote a letter to her dad, called me, said, Mary, I'm doing it. I said, good luck. I love you, and I believe you're going to be fine, but, like, let's let this play out like it's going to play out, because this sometimes we have to face the music. So she goes home. She tells her dad, and what do you think her dad did?
Loved her still.
He did. Jenny, he loved her still. He said, my darling, I forgive you. He hugged her. He kissed her. He said, I just want you to be okay.
Wow.
I'm so happy you're getting married. And now there's no more reason to lie. There's no more reason to live inauthentically. And then for her, too, what a load to be lifted. That's like, oh.
I'll tell you.
Even
you know, it's something about.
Rebellion. Yes.
It's something about the truth.
Me.
It's something about the truth. I have a caller here. Caller, you're all
on. Yes, and how are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
How are
you're
you this evening?
Great.
Yes, I would just like, to your guest, I would like to ask her, which one do you think is the most successful that you've done since you're, you know, and what you have, the problems you have addressing, you have addressed? You feel the most successful.
What do I feel the most successful about the
The problems that you have had to address with people.
The what do I think is the most successful problem I've helped people address?
Yeah, that you feel that you've accomplished.
Oh, that what
you
were
able to
accomplish. I've accomplished. Oh gosh, you know what? I'm going to say that it's in my relationships. I'm just a lover of people. I love to just meet people where they're at and just love them the way they are. Like, I don't see, you know how you meet someone and you go, oh, they're more important than me, or they're not as important. Like, there's things people do, right? Like, think of the Indian culture. They have a whole caste system, right? If you're poor, you have to marry someone poor, et cetera. So, like, I just don't see that. I have a blind spot when it comes to that. I just kind of just love people the way they are, and I think that that's part of my purpose and my gift is just to really be able to see people as who they are and just be very accepting of everything that comes along with that. Good, bad, ugly, beautiful. There's no weight to it. I just let people be who they are because you know what? I want to be who I am.
I understand that. That's good. You can accept people as they, you know, as they are and add to their lives too. Add to their lives.
Thank you so much. The ways that they you're welcome. Yeah, and see the ways they can add to mine as well. I think that's the beauty of it. We all have something to learn from each other. If you're out there and you're like, oh, I'm too young or I'm too old, it's like, that's not true. There is always something we have to learn from each other.
Yes. Okay, then. Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Jenny.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling. So are you done with three?
So that would, living in your truth and alignment, y'all, if there's something on your chest and you want to sell free, oh, my gosh, talk about it. And you know what? When it comes to your, if you're like, Mary, my family, like, they're just not going to be on board with that. They're not going to agree with me because we eat a certain way or we believe a certain way. I'm like, I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is love on your family and just say to them, you know what? I can respect that. But I need you to respect where I'm at, too. And, like, maybe there's just certain things we're going to agree to disagree on. And maybe there's just certain subjects that we're not going to be able to fully broach. Maybe we don't need to talk about bacon. Maybe bacon is just something we don't talk about in the family. And if that's – because if it's going to cause that big of a problem, let's not talk about bacon because there's lots of other wonderful things we can talk about and love on each other about and discover about each other that do not need to include bacon. And let
you
it
know – I think that's wonderful because you have so many families that are not speaking to each other. And that should not be. I mean, you know, it could be years and people, they just don't. And I don't think that's at some point you ought to say, you know what, I don't care. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's part of me. That's my blood. and I know mm-hmm. we can get along. We may not agree on everything, but we don't have to because we're two different people, you know.
That's
and I know you like red, and I like blue, and that's okay. That's okay. So, but you are my brother, my blood brother, or my blood sister. And, you mm-hmm. know, there's nothing that you can do that's so horrible that I would turn my back on you.
Right.
Especially at some time, you know, or another, somebody might need someone's help. Are you
mm-hmm.
not going to give it because, well, you know, I haven't spoken to him in 10 years. And I wouldn't ask him for nothing anyway, because I know he
mm-hmm.
wouldn't give it to me. Well, how do you know
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't give it to you if you don't ask?
That's right. If you don't ask, that's right. And how many, and I have this challenge for anyone listening right now. If you're feeling a little like Jenny, we're like that in our family. We've been giving each other silent treatment. I want to ask you, do you even remember what you're upset with each other about?
No.
Do you even remember? Because I find that more often than not when those situations, they can't even tell you why they're not talking to each other.
Absolutely.
They don't even remember. They're just so stubborn and they're just so stuck on being right. Do you want to be right or do you want the relationship?
Right.
So sometimes
Absolutely.
We got to put down being right to have the relationship, y'all. Like I'm telling you, there is something when we swallow that pride. It doesn't taste very good, but at the end of the day, it comes out the right way. So, you know.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
No, I was just, you know, patting myself on the back here, preaching to myself because I'm listening to my own stuff here.
Well, that's a good thing. But, you know, I love this, what you've brought tonight. I really, really do. And I think I've learned quite a bit. I've learned quite a bit how to deal with, you know, a bad decision that you get from a doctor or whomever, you know. And you can defeat that. Whatever you tell yourself, yourself will believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You will
mm-hmm.
believe. Whatever you say.
That's right.
You don't have to take everybody, what everyone says. Even doctors make mistakes because
mm-hmm.
if they didn't, they wouldn't be sued all the time.
But,
I mean, they're human. They're human.
No, they are. They are. And that's why I said, you know, find what brings you peace. And for some, you know, I will tell you guys, cancer, is it a scary diagnosis? Yes.
Yes, it
unequivocally,
is.
It was
yes,
scary.
It
it's
is.
Not, it's not a light, it's not a light thing, but my faith is a place and a power that I know I can go back to because I know I believe in something bigger than the doctor. I believe in something bigger than a diagnosis. And at the end of the day, I stand by that, and I did what I felt was right for me. If what feels right for you with the information that you get is to go through chemo or to do take a pill or whatever it is, then do it. Do what brings you peace. Because at the end of the day, I know that, like, hey, I have – when am I dying? That's God's business. But my job is to live. So how do I make the most of living? So that when it does come, when my music fades and it is my time, I can go into that proudly and say, I came to do what I was here to do, and that's all, you know, that's all I can be grateful for and go, that's okay. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Oh, we got one more.
I'm
okay.
Glad.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, I got to give you the bonus, right? I got to give you the one more thing.
All right.
One more thing is, guys and gals, everything that you want is available to you. And I mean literally everything you want. I was talking to a client this week, and she said, apparently I like to learn the hard way, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering, do you speak those words to yourself? Because if you resonate with that statement or any limiting beliefs like it, then I invite you to change your story at any time. It is a choice. Our brain reasons with us, typically out of obligation or self-imposed urgency. Sometimes we overgive or we pour into others, but we forget that our own cup needs filling too. And the challenge is making the choice daily. And I get it. Some days are hard, and it is okay to surrender to them if it's too exhausting to fight. But the magic is in choosing not to stay there. Your mind is such a powerful place. Your faith can hold so much amazing capacity to really move mountains and miracles in your life.
That's true.
And
that's
take you
true.
Take you to amazing places if you let it. And Jenny, thank you for letting me share. Guys, my name is Mary D. I'm the Joy Catalyst, and it has been a pleasure and a joy to share these tips for joy tonight. And I hope that you can take them with you and instill them in your life and create more joy.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have enjoyed you, and I'm wondering, my co-host, did you have to say anything, or were you mesmerized as I was?
Well, I've been really sitting back enjoying the show. I appreciate all your insight, Mary, and the nuggets that you share with us, and you're very right with everything that you want is available to you. It's definitely a frame of mind and a vibration that you have to have as far as an outlook and your perception of life and how it affects you. Like they say, life is, you know, 10% of what happens to you, and, you know, your attitude is how you react to it is 90%.
That's right. That's right. That's
yeah.
One of my favorite quotes because I believe it is so true. It's so true, you guys, so true.
Yeah, so that's great, especially with the gratitude and the grounding and compassion and being aligned, being in alignment with your truth. I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. You know, it's what their purpose is. And so I appreciate you being able to touch on those things and, you know, and also mentioning your faith as well. And I'm glad that you are a breast cancer survivor, and
yes.
Definitely like to have you come back and
absolutely.
Give us some more nuggets.
I know, that's
Thank
right.
You
got to do that.
Thank
you. Got to do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So
well, it was a pleasure.
Well, I have one more listener, TC. Did you want to say something? I can't. What happened?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now.
Yes.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes,
I hear you now.
No. Great information. Great information. I was just sitting there jotting stuff down, so I know what I can use and what I can't use.
I know.
But
that's me too.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too, and I was writing down too. Yeah. That's great.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. So,
now, do you have a book or anything, Mary, any other materials if someone was interested in getting more information?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got actually a book coming out next year. I co-authored two bestsellers this last year, but next year is my actual book. It's called Just Eat the Cake, a recipe for living a life of courage, joy, and purpose. And that will be released by Morgan James Publishing next year. They haven't given me a date yet because it's in editing. But if you go to marydee.com, that's MaryDee.com, that's my website, and all the updates will be posted there. You're welcome to subscribe to my list. I send out an update every month, and I just leave more tips for joy on there. If you guys love social media, social media is easy for me. It's at the Mary D on both Facebook and Instagram, and I'd love for you to join me there. I'm currently doing a 100 Days of Intimacy on Instagram, and those are little lives I do every day for a couple minutes, and they ask intriguing questions like, what do you know now that you wish you had known when you were younger?
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thanks. Again, Mary, for coming. I appreciate you. You've got to come back. You've just got to come
Thank
back.
Thank you.
And
Thank
give
you.
Us,
I really enjoyed tonight's show.
Well, I'm glad. And we've enjoyed it as well. And before we go, I'd just like to say the most expensive thing in the world is trust. It can take years to earn, and only a matter of seconds to lose. So having said that, I'd like to say to my audience, I thank you, I love you all, and this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night, and have a great weekend.